Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where religion has obviously played a tremendous role in the formation and the upbuilding and the success of the United States of America. America always used to be considered the exception to other Western nations, other well-developed nations, in the sense that we still had huge numbers of people who attended church regularly. One of the points that I always have made is that people pay attention to the movie business. We have Oscar nominations coming up Monday. About five times as many Americans go to church, even now coming out of a pandemic, on the weekend as go to the movies. And yet, all of that participation has been winding down, but it's created a vacuum to be filled by, well, Shadi Hamid, in a terrific piece in Atlantic Magazine called America Without God, says that politics has been filling the void left by religion. Shadi Hamid joins us. He is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a contributing writer to The Atlantic. He's also the author of Islamic Exceptionalism and Temptations of Power. Shadi, congratulations on the piece in The Atlantic. And why should Americans be concerned if politics is replacing religion?
Well, first of all, politics, should we have really stark divide? Should we really get angry at each other as Americans for around mundane policy issues or political debates? Political issues are fundamentally of this world and this world alone. They shouldn't be treated as theology. Politics is not the most important thing, or at least up until now, it wasn't, and it shouldn't be. I would argue. If you want to do religion, do religion. And as you alluded to, we are seeing a winding down in church membership, and it is pretty stark. It's a sort of collapse, if you will. For the second half of the 20th century, we were pretty constant at around 70% church membership. Now it's under 50% just in the past two decades. And you might have thought, well, secular people would have thought that this would make us maybe more rational or reasonable or sensible if you come from that perspective that too much religion is a bad thing. But actually, ideological fragmentation has gotten worse, and we've seen that especially during the Trump years. So less religion doesn't make us more tolerant of our fellow Americans. In some ways, it appears to have made us less tolerant. So this is a shift that I'm really concerned about and that I highlight in the piece. And it's really on both the left and the right. I mean, on the right side of the spectrum, you see the rise of Trumpism, which in some ways mimics religious aspects, the way that people see Trump as a kind of savior in this world. If you go to a Trump rally, there is that focus on the charismatic leader. And then if you look on the left side of the spectrum, you see the rise of wokeism. And that mimics the certainty of religion, but without the forgiveness, the grace, and the mercy. And we should remember that there are good things about religion, and specifically Christianity in the U.S. context, that it allows us to postpone judgment until the next life, that we don't need to have final victories in this temporal world right away, because we know that there's something else, and that's the danger of these new secular religions, if we'd like to call it that, is that they are intent on judging and punishing right now. There is no mercy. There is no redemption. And that's why we have the spread of things like cancel culture and so on, because punishment is the goal oftentimes. And I should also say, Michael, that I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in Christianity. I think Christianity is good. I'm actually a Muslim, but I've come to the conclusion that the decline of Christianity isn't necessarily a great thing for our country.
And again, I'm also not a Christian. I'm Jewish. And there is no question that the United States, in terms of actually having a sense of national community, we've always had this idea of a secular religion. I mean, it's one of the points you make in your piece, which is excellent, which is that America itself is almost a religion. You quote Michael Novak, who was a friend of mine. The Catholic philosopher made that point. That notion of America being almost a religion, doesn't that suggest that there's something natural about investing political differences with religious meaning? Why is that dangerous rather than a natural progression of seeing America as a nation with a God-given mission?
You're exactly right. I mean, we've always been a nation of believers in this sense, in the American idea, in a way that we haven't seen, let's say, in European democracies where, let's say, countries like Germany, Sweden, you don't have national ideologies. To be a German simply means to have been born in Germany, and that's the land of Germans, but there isn't necessarily an overarching universal premise there, and that's what makes us us. But for most of our history, we have had a common Christian culture to temper that believing in the civic faith, and they were intertwined in a way that they would benefit each other. Without the Christian aspect tempering it, what we see now is that we still, I would say most Americans believe in the American idea, but we no longer agree on what that means in practice, and that's why we're seeing this war over the founding, on our history, and whether or not to even be proud of America. And then the question is, can this civic faith that we've had, can it really hold in this context? And right now I think we're seeing more of a fragmentation. And part of that I think has to do with the decline of Christianity, where it's a sort of be careful what you wish for situation, that Christianity declines, but there's a vacuum because people still need structure. They're yearning for meaning. There's a lot of confusion, especially with the rise of social media and different sources of information all over the place. And in that kind of chaotic situation, we see these conflicting views of what it means to be American. Because if you look at Trump supporters, they believe that they're true to the American idea. If you talk to woke progressives, they think that they're the ones who are holding on to the right approach to being American, but they're on completely different sides, and there's really no intersection there. And the only solution, in my view, is to say, well, we're all fellow Americans still. No one should be seen, or almost no one should be seen, as beyond the pale. I didn't support Trump. I supported Biden, but I do think we have to live with the 74 million Trump voters. They are fellow Americans.
Of course, most of whom are good citizens and people who love the country. Go ahead.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, we are just about out of time. I think your piece is important because part of what it argues for is that politics as a substitute faith is not going to pay off in the long term, because politics doesn't really offer redemption. It may offer some kind of improvement in the way that our elected representatives legislate or administer or adjudicate, but the idea of redemption and transforming your personal life, that rarely happens through political activism. Shadi Hamid, his piece, America Without God, asking the question, as religious faith has declined, ideological intensity has arisen. Will the quest for secular redemption through politics doom the American idea? Let us hope not. Shadi, thanks for the contribution. We will be right back on The Medved Show with shining Seattle as an example for the rest of the country? We'll get to that coming up. I first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5 to 6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. Big questions. Are religion and science constantly, inevitably at war? Can science provide evidence for God? New York Times best-selling author Stephen Meyer, he's a philosopher of science. He has written The Return of the God Hypothesis, three scientific discoveries that revealed the mind behind the universe. There's a special offer for MedVed listeners. Free excerpt from the book, free digital booklet on intelligent design, a discount on Dr. Meyer's online course, an invitation to an exclusive online meeting with Dr. Stephen Meyer. And amazingly, this new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, has just been endorsed by a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Dr. Brian Josephson, and many other prominent scientists. You can read about it, find out all about it, when you go to discovery.org/MedVed for a special offer you don't want to miss. discovery.org/MedVed.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, Seattle doesn't always get great publicity. I mean, people are aware of the TV special Seattle is Dying, which highlights the devastating impact of the so-called homeless crisis and the corresponding rise in crime in our city. People were very aware of the ridiculous failed experiment of the Capitol Hill organized protest, the CHOP experience over last year. And so it's kind of a relief that this week, U.S. News and World Report ranking the states for the second year in a row ranked Washington State as the best of America's states. And that based upon analyzing healthcare system, education system, business opportunities, environment, and a range of metrics. The second place state was Minnesota, actually. And, you had Utah third. But in any event, today I pick up my New York Times and on the front page they have this. Amid failures of pandemic, Seattle shines. And then it says a city shows the value of a unified strategy. And because it's good news and because it's encouraging and because it's a message that I support, and I particularly support it given the fact that we have two children who have made the decision, two of our three, to make their lives here in Seattle, I share this with you proudly. It says, pieces by Mike Baker. It says, facing the nation's first widespread coronavirus outbreak, some of Washington State's top leaders quietly gathered on a Sunday morning last March for an urgent strategy session. The virus had been rampaging through a nursing home in the Seattle suburbs, in Kirkland, Washington, actually, right near Evergreen Health. By the time the meeting began, the region had recorded most of the nation's first 19 deaths. New cases were surfacing by the hour. 1 year later, however, the Seattle area has the lowest death rate of all of the 20 largest metropolitan regions in the country. Which one has the highest death rate? Congratulations, Mayor de Blasio. It's New York City. Not the highest number of deaths. That, of course, is the biggest city, but the highest death rate, and by far. If the rest of the United States had kept pace with Seattle, the nation would have avoided more than 300,000 coronavirus deaths. During a year in which the White House downplayed the virus and other political leaders clashed over how to contain it, Seattle's success illustrates the value of a unified and timely strategy, and that's certainly good to hear. Although the region's public health experts and politicians grappled with the behind the scenes about how best to manage the virus, they came together to present a united front to the public, and the public largely complied. And this is crucial here, is that for a combination of reasons, compliance with some of the urging of public officials and health officials has been better in Seattle than around the country. They write in the New York Times, amid widespread economic turmoil, the state's unemployment rate has been about average nationally, outperforming some places that have pressed ahead with wider reopenings, including Arizona and Texas. There are numerous factors that have shaped the trajectory of the pandemic, both locally and nationally. In part, public health experts said Seattle may have benefited from its demographics. A healthy population living in small households and a lot of workers able to do their jobs from home. The city may also have won more public support for the crackdowns from the shock of experiencing the nation's first public publicized deaths. The high humidity may also have helped, scientists say, although the cold weather and gray skies probably did not. Researchers said Seattle also profited from its network of research and philanthropic organizations focused on global health. Yes, including the Gates Foundation, of course. Politicians willing to listen to them, businesses that emptied their offices early, and residents who repeatedly indicated a willingness to upend their lives in order to save others. Even as the year wore on and the region's case numbers were among the lowest in the nation, a survey found that Washington State residents were still the most likely to stay home for Thanksgiving. They quote Ali Mokhtad, who is a professor at University of Washington, and he says that the Seattle model could have been captured and replicated, positively affecting the trajectory of the virus across the country. Instead, he said, state after state reopened sooner than appropriate, and members of the public ignored health advice that at times was undermined by conflicting messages from political and business leaders. Seattle, he said, shows what could have been. They go on, and the piece is not an argument in favor of crackdowns as a way of dealing with everything. There's a big editorial in the Wall Street Journal today about how crackdowns have not worked everywhere, and they have been extremely uneven in terms of delivering results. But when you look at this list that the Times supplies of the worst metropolitan areas, and Seattle being the best three are Seattle and San Francisco and San Diego, and the worst being New York, Boston, and Phoenix. Now, they followed the same strategies, but with apparently a very different attitude. And by the way, the differences here are extraordinary, because Seattle has experienced since the beginning of the pandemic a deaths per 100,000, it's 64, whereas New York is 294. So you're talking about literally almost five times the rate of death in New York City than in the city of Seattle. And it's something that people can be proud of. And does this mean that I think that Jay Inslee has done a magnificent job, or that Jenny Durkin or Dow Constantine, who is the King County chief executive, have done a perfect job? By no means. By no means. However, it's one of those things that with the idea that we should emphasize gratitude as much as grievance, there's a lot of complaining that goes on about living here. But this should not be grounds for complaint. It should be grounds for gratitude. We'll talk coming up about a new poll that says that the military are losing support, and another new poll that shows a particularly high-profile couple is almost universally hated. Why and which one? We'll get to that coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden says they've delivered on a promise that help is on the way. He just celebrated his coronavirus relief bill a day after signing it into law, calling it historical and transformational. The president, joined by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California and Vice President Kamala Harris. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the cyber attack against Microsoft systems is significant in size and scope.
The precise number of systems that have been exposed by this vulnerability and have been exploited either by nation-state threat actors or ransomware hackers or others, that is something that we are urgently working with the private sector to determine.
Speaking during a briefing, Sullivan would not identify a perpetrator at this time. USA Radio News.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Michael Medved Show, there are some lessons from contemporary sensations. Yes, there was a great deal of sensation and controversy about the Oprah Winfrey interview with Harry and Meghan. And one of the revelations, it seems to me, is a proof of the old proposition that is crucial for American politics, as it is crucial, frankly, for politics in the UK or in Canada or in France or in Israel or anywhere around the world. The idea that what people like, what people admire, is not someone who is a victim, but someone who's a victor, who sometimes triumphs over hardship. The headline in the Daily Mail is Harry and Meghan's popularity falls to the lowest level ever in capitals after Oprah interview, shows YouGov poll. And when you consider that the royal family is officially representing this nation, and it's a great important nation of 60 million people, that this nation of the United Kingdom is represented to the world by this family, this kind of polling result is important. They say, thinking about the royal family, that's the question. For each of the following, please say whether you have a positive or a negative opinion of them. And positive opinion? For Her Majesty the Queen, 80%. For her grandson, Prince William, who's second highest, 76%. Then you go down to Kate Middleton, the wife of Prince William, 73%. Prince Harry, 45%. Ouch. Camilla Parker Bowles, the wife of the heir to the throne, Prince Charles, she's down at 39%. And then we're still plunging the depths here. Meghan Markle, 31%. In other words, more than two-thirds of the people of Great Britain don't like this woman. The bottom of the barrel, Jeremy, I'm sure you can guess. It's very appropriate to the Cuomo situation. It is fascinating to me that when he was coming up in politics, people referred to Andrew Cuomo as Prince Andrew. They did, because he was the son of the governor of New York, and he was groomed to be a successor, and now he is a successor in the governor's mansion. Yeah, that Prince Andrew isn't doing so well, but the other Prince Andrew, Prince Andrew Windsor, the brother of the Prince of Wales, the son of the Queen, you know what his approval rating is? I mean, people who say they have a positive opinion of him, it's 7%.
There are terrorists who have higher approval ratings than Prince Andrew. That has to do, of course, with the Jeffrey Epstein connection and the very strong indications that Prince Andrew did not behave in a princely manner. In any event, what's the problem with Meghan and Harry? The problem, it seems to me, and they say they have histories of polling concerning the royal family, and for Meghan Markle, in the last couple of weeks, her approval rating went down 27%. Why? Because of self-pity. And this is one of those things where I believe that there are so many American politicians and political leaders who get this wrong. The American people don't like self-pity. They don't respond to people who say, oh, I am such a victim of oppression, and I am a victim of racism, I am a victim here, I'm a victim there. By the way, a leader of the Black Choir, which sang beautifully, by the way, at Meghan and Harry's wedding, says that they were invited to the wedding by Prince Charles, who invited them to perform. She said she cannot believe he is racist amid fallout from the Oprah interview. The idea that Meghan Markle, who's wealthy, who is privileged, who is famous, who has her every need met, the idea that she would go on TV and blame her family because they didn't attend to her suicidal tendencies, that's not going to do anything to build your popularity. And by the same token, the claim in the United States that you're going to advance yourself or your group by showing how disadvantaged you are, by showing how wounded you are, is not a good bet. The good bet is the American spirit, which is a can-do spirit, which is a spirit of optimism, which is one of the reasons that I think that Donald Trump was more successful when he was out campaigning as a victor rather than a victim. And the entire theme of they're rigging the election against me, I can't do anything about it, the fake news is victimizing me, I'm a victim, 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 it didn't work. And it really never does in American life or political life in general. Somebody who is not a victim, I mentioned yesterday, is very seriously considering a race for Texas governor. What Matthew McConaughey hasn't answered is whether he would run as a Republican, as a Democrat, or as an independent. My guess is if he does run, he probably won't. It would be an independent. He said again, I'm looking into now again, what is my leadership role? Because I do think I have some things to launch and share. And what is my role? What's my category in my next chapter of life that I'm going into?
back in November, just a few months ago, McConaughey was asked the same thing in an interview, and he said, I don't know, I mean, that wouldn't be up to me. It would be up to the people more than it would me. Look, politics seems to be a broken business to me right now. And when politics redefines its purpose, I could be a hell of a lot more interested. What does he mean, redefine its purpose? The purpose of politics is to choose the people who govern the country. By the way, one of those people will not be 78-year-old Geraldo Rivera. His race for the United States Senate in Ohio, where he hosts a local radio show, that race is over pretty much before it started. The Geraldo Rivera ended his exploration of a potential bid for Senator Rob Portman's open seat yesterday, about 24 hours after tweeting that he was considering jumping into the race. His wife, actually it's his fifth wife, Erica Levy, said, we sincerely apologize that Geraldo is not running. Or in the case that it makes one happy, that he's not running, congratulations. Okay, at least there's a good humor there. Now, it is unclear whether Geraldo was imbibing when he made the announcement that he was considering a race for the U.S. Senate, which is kind of a ridiculous idea. Herschel Walker running for Senate makes more sense down in Georgia. In any event, that question of imbibing during the pandemic, there's a new survey that shows that we have been doing altogether too much of that. And it combines with another new survey about the relationship between drinking and all kinds of other problems. We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. Also, a question, are the American people really losing faith in our military? That and more coming up on the Medved Show. Relief Factor is natural. It uses natural anti-inflammatory ingredients to reduce your level of pain, discomfort, stiffness. It really does work. And a 3-week quick start is amazing. It is a great buy. It's $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. You take 3 little packets a day, and you can feel the difference. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor. Did Charles Darwin's work impact society for better or worse? Go to discovery.org/medved and get the free digital book, Darwin's 3 Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. Learn how Darwin actually impacted faith, morality, medicine, criminal justice, and much more. Ideas have consequences. For a limited time, get your free copy of Darwin's 3 Big Ideas at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
On the Michael Medved show, an interesting and challenging email came in, and let me deal with that. We have a bunch of them, and we'll try to get to a bunch of them during the rest of this show. But first, this came from in Colorado, and he says, I'm a medhead. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Colin. He says, I'm reading a really good biography of U.S. Grant, maybe the one by Ron Chernow, the same guy who wrote the biography that the musical Hamilton is based on. He says, I'm reading a really good biography of U.S. Grant and keep wondering why he's ranked so low on the wiki page. How would you rank him? I would rank Grant much higher, and I think that's the tendency among American historians. There are basically three reasons that people, I think, underrated Grant, and you can look at some of the earlier polls of U.S. historians, and he's rated right at the bottom, where he doesn't belong. First of all, he doesn't belong there because he was a two-term president. He won re-election by a landslide margin, and there was a talk of bringing him back for a third term in 1880. He decided not to do it, and he probably would have won then if he had decided to do it. The point about Grant is there was corruption in his administration by a number of people, including his Secretary of War. You may have heard about that. He was somebody who resigned after he was impeached by the House, but they held a Senate trial anyway. He had a personal aide who was his secretary to the president, Orville Babcock, who was quite a scoundrel. And Grant was a military man, devoted his whole life to the military, really. And he believed in loyalty in the ranks, and he showed too much loyalty to some of the people working under him. But the other reason, other than the history of corruption, that I think people underrated Grant was because he supported the Reconstruction of the South. And when I say Reconstruction, the idea of guaranteeing the rights of people of color. You all of a sudden had in the Southern United States nearly 3 million newly freed people. And Grant deserves a great deal more respect than he received from historians in the past generation, many of whom, writing particularly about the Civil War and the Civil War era, were Confederate sympathizers. And I'm thinking particularly the leading historian in the country for some years,
and this is before World War II, was a guy named Ulrich Phillips, who was chairman of the history department at Yale, who basically viewed all of Reconstruction and all of the, quote, radical Republicans who were advocates for freedom and liberty and black voting rights and other rights for people of color, viewed them in a very negative light. And I think that caused people. And the other thing about Grant that is amazing is his post-presidency and his ability to write this wonderful autobiography when he was dying of cancer. And he was. He smoked too many cigars. By the way, it is not true that Grant was a falling down drunk in the White House. Yes, he had a drinking problem earlier in his life, but it was well under control by the time that he actually won the Civil War and then served as a two-term president. So good for you for reading. There are several new books. The one you probably read was called American Ulysses by Ron Chernow. Okay, speaking of alcohol, there's a new survey that shows that the use of alcohol has greatly increased during the pandemic. And this goes back to the very beginnings of the pandemic, where people apparently stocked up on alcohol because they were afraid they couldn't go to the liquor store to find it. But there's a sign that people have gained a great deal of weight, which is related to increased alcohol consumption. And a piece in the American Psychology Journal, from the American Psychological Association, APA, they do an annual Stress in America report. And the APA survey of U.S. adults conducted in late February by the Harris Poll shows that a majority of adults, 61%, experienced undesired weight changes, and almost all of that being weight gain, since the pandemic started, with some 42% of American adults saying they gained more weight than they intended. Of those, they gained an average of 29 pounds. That's a lot of weight. 10% said they gained more than 50 pounds during the pandemic, the poll found. Adults also reported unwanted changes in sleep and greatly increased alcohol consumption. 2 in 3, 67%, said they've been sleeping more or less than desired since the pandemic started. Nearly 1 in 4 adults, 23%, reported drinking more alcohol to cope with their stress. And this comes at the same time. There's a New York Times piece by Anahad O'Connor, good Irish name. When the pandemic struck last year, many Americans rushed to stock up on alcohol, causing retail sales of wine, beer, and liquor to surge. But the uptick in sales was a worrying sign for health experts focused on cancer prevention. In recent years, a growing number of medical and public health groups have introduced public awareness campaigns warning people to drink with caution, noting that alcohol is the third leading preventable cause of cancer. What are the first two? Number one is tobacco. Number two is obesity, which alcohol also contributes to. There are serious calories in some of that booze that is so enjoyable. In October, the American Society for Clinical Oncology, which represents many of the nation's top cancer specialists, along with the American Institute for Cancer Research, called on the federal government to add a cancer warning to alcohol labels, saying there was strong scientific consensus that alcohol can cause several types of cancer, including breast and colon cancer. While medical experts have long recognized alcohol as a risk factor for various cancers, including cancers of the mouth, throat, voice box, esophagus, and liver, a survey conducted by the American Society of Cancer Oncologists of 2017 of 4,000 American adults found that fewer than a third recognized that alcohol was a factor for cancer. The ongoing pandemic underscores the urgency of these efforts as stress, lockdowns, and economic uncertainty continues to take a toll. One of the most interesting things here is where is drinking up particularly? Drinking is up particularly among parents with school-aged children who aren't going to school. And people turning to alcohol as a relief and a diversion. All of this goes to the point that even for those of us who have been fortunate enough to avoid the COVID-19 disease itself, the virus itself, the impact is very real. When you look at the number of people who actually go through increased consumption of alcohol and the impact of that, and by the way, Black Americans were more likely, according to the survey of health factors in the pandemic, were more likely to report feelings of concern about the future. More than half said they do not feel comfortable going back to living life like they used to before the pandemic. 54% of Black people. A part of the reason for these impacts, it seems to me, would be the message that is sent out so regularly in our culture and in our news media and all over the place that Black people are especially victimized by everything. Now, this is historically, it's been true. There's no other group of people, no other ethnicity that has suffered more. And the crime of slavery is, yes, it's enormous and incalculable. But this message that you are a victim, that you are a victim, and that somebody else has to make that right, is not an encouraging or helpful message. The alcohol, maybe the alcohol consumption can come down when we come back to normal life. It's something to hope for and maybe even to strive for as individuals and families in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to AvidBiotech.Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.